Let us open our hearts and minds to how God speaks to us through Scripture. And our first reading will be from Paul's letter to the Romans. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promise given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew and introduces to us one of the less cheery participants of the Advent season, John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. When John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able to raise from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, this is the time of year when we get caught up in preparing and decorating and trying to set a tone of love and cheer as we draw closer to Christmas. It happens everywhere except in the lectionary readings of the church on the second Sunday of Advent. For here on the second Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist comes on the scene like a wild man, proclaiming hard words of transformation and redemption. The cousin of Jesus, he comes as a purveyor of bad news first. He doesn't mince words to the folks who come to hear him preach, some knowing they need transformation, others probably just for the spectacle of it all. "You brood of vipers," he shouts, insulting the erudite and affluent, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There's a voice crying in the wilderness, "John is a prophet in the tradition of Amos, Hosea, and Micah." Transformation, he says, requires pruning and destruction of old ways of life. Souls need purification. We must put off injustice and idolatry and spiritual smugness to experience God's realm now as it is coming close. So just as we and our lives outside of church look for good tidings, John brings on the good tidings. But he is a major figure in our Advent adventure, and we can't simply say he was the angry cousin while Jesus was a loving cousin. John presents us with a dream of a new era. But it is clear that to get there, we must go through a time of self-examination and change of heart. We must prune away dead branches of our life, subtract our wants, simplify our desires, for the realm of God, he is saying, requires a change of heart, a contrite spirit, and a new set of values. He sounds angry, but I think the truth is that John loves the people and grieves over what people can be as creations of God, rather than how some of them are turning out. Just as the Old Testament in places describes God as grieving over his wayward people, or as Jesus will in the last week of his life weep over Jerusalem, so too John's heart breaks at the gap between how some people live now and how they could live if they reflected the sacred aspects of their being created in the image of God. God is graceful, even in these harsh-sounding words, and initiates a process of creative transformation because God wants us to be part of God's dream as it is to be realized in this world. Those who sought this new life received baptism as a sign of purification and commitment. But the cleansing waters of baptism must be preceded, John says, by a change of heart, an examination of those parts of ourselves that we like to conceal from others or give excuses for. We must choose life, John says, a life as God wants, in all aspects of our lives, economically, politically, relationally, and congregationally as a people. Align yourself with God's coming realm. Such was John's message. God will come, the gospel narrative state, and manifest in the message hospitality and the healing practices as seen in Jesus of Nazareth. And as we share in that way of living, as we draw through this season, we can each reflect then the sacred aspects of life into the daily routines of our lives. This Advent, I have been looking at how we can see or reflect sacred things in the times of our lives, people of our lives, and places of our lives. And I think that seeing sacredness, seeing the sacred reflected in all people, may be the biggest lift for us ordinary humans, including being able to see it within ourselves. But it is likely to be the most necessary place in which we look to see the presence of God. Because if you look around, listen to what's going on in the world, in politics, in our society, we seem to be deep in a wilderness. And the path certainly is not straight as we look ahead. It is difficult to conceive of how we might turn around, which is what repent means, in order to move towards living in harmony with each other. But I hold on to the scriptural promise that God is present in a steadfast and encouraging way until we can find our way to that accord and oneness with Christ that will unite us all. When we look through the lens of the sacred, we prepare our senses to recognize what is holy in all people, to come to know them in a steadfast and encouraging way that lifts them up even as others do the same for us. And our world is crying out for harmony, and being able to see Christ reflected in each other will make a path for this to be accomplished. So let us be inspired this week to see our own walk upon this earth as part of a call to be people who reflect the sacred, and by ushering in the presence of Christian love. The scripture read from Romans is part of Paul's argument for the inclusion of Gentiles, non-Jewish people, into the church. And he quotes the ancient prophets and invokes the Holy Spirit to say, yes, this was God's intent. It is not a promise limited to those of a Jewish background. And his desire comes from a deep love for the people to whom he writes and to whom he has witnessed. A love that wants to see them at peace, embracing joy, because he knows there have been opportunities for divisions within the church between Jew and Gentile Christians, between wealthy and day workers and slaves, between men and women. All were coming to the new churches formed in these years. And after all, even a brood of vipers, which, you know, is, let's be honest, a title each of us can claim at times within our lives, even a brood of vipers has a potential to repent and bear fruit, according to John, who is not one to mince words. Father Richard Rohr has written, God loves things by becoming them. It's an incarnational worldview in which the physical manifestation of Christ in the person of Jesus makes sense. The birth of a baby into a divided and dangerous world, because yes, this has always been the condition of the world, now as well as in the first century. That birth of a baby is one big old clue to us humans that God is in love with each and every one of us and comes to show us how to be more fully the people God creates us to be. John dreamed of a peaceable kingdom, and so do we. He never lived to see its full embodiment, but he planted seeds that enabled Jesus then to move forward as a messenger and embodiment of that kingdom. John is Advent personified. He embodies the fierce urgency of the now, but not yet. He is impatient with our foolishness and sin and wants us to be better. And as an Advent messenger, he knows that salvation occurs through the transformation, person by person. This very moment is the right time for us to let go of the past, turn away from half-heartedness and complicity with injustice, and instead find a new pathway into God's peaceable kingdom, one step and one breath at a time. What if, as we approach Christmas, What if we imagine the way we feel when we see a precious newborn child and use that as our lens for looking at others, both those who are known and those who are strangers? Like perhaps the portrait setting on our spiritual phones, in effect. What if their simple human beauty is what we allow to come into focus, and our human struggle to accept them fades into the background for a moment, so that we might marvel with awe and wonder at the miracle of what is in effect our common shared divine DNA of spirit. This very moment is the right time for us to let go of the past, turn away from our half-heartedness and our complicity with injustice, find new pathways to God's peaceable kingdom, one step, one breath at a time, seeing the sacred reflected in one another in a way that shares and shows the peace of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.